K2PCB. K2PCB, listening for any calls.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. How are you? And we have that static back again.
Okay, the static I cannot explain. I have a feeling that on my end, I can't be 100%, but I'm going to say yes. And I think it's not the radio. I think it's the node.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think it's the node. Even though that yesterday Ross and I were chatting after he got to work, and I was picking up static from him, which is weird because normally he and I do Simplex on the way in, so I'm not sure what's going on.
Well, when I say node, I'm thinking my node, and that's my radio into my node. I don't understand why that is. Of course, Ross had an issue that he found yesterday where, I assume he told you about it, right? His solder connection in his PL259 connector had failed and was pulling out. It was basically a cold solder joint. Yeah, so Ross had to do a little, doctoring of his node, a little doctoring of his mobile setup. And I know you said that I sound fine when I'm direct, so that leads me to my node radio. Maybe that's weird. All kinds of fun. Did we lose you, Brad?
I'm still here. Again, your signal is weak, and a lot of static on it.
This is K2PCB doing an audio test, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I can hear you, just really low power today.
This is K2PCB doing an echo test. Hold on a second there, Brad. K2PCB testing.
KC2NVM response testing.
KC2NVM, this is KE2GDQ. If you're coming in through Ross's node, you're doing the same thing as Travis. Real low power, a lot of static on it.
I'm actually coming in through K2PCB.
Okay, Brad, I'm just going to go over to you direct. Hopefully this fixes it.
Oh, that absolutely did fix it. You're definitely coming in beyond 9 and crystal clear.
Okay, I'm hearing Ross's signal over here. Yeah, he's got something going on his end as well. So I think this kind of, I don't want to say it says my radio and node are okay, but I kind of feel that that's the case. Hopefully you're making it in there. Jeff, I don't know of any other good way to get in. Even using my node or Ross's node, it's the same transceiver that brings it into this group.
Yes, I'm using K2PCB, and so how am I coming in?
I can hear Jeff in there, but the signal is low and staticky like yours was earlier, Travis. So Jeff, if you're going through Ross's node or Echo Link, it's pretty low. Well, Travis, I did get some feedback from Redivis on my scanning stuff.
Yes, do tell. What they say?
I have to set it in the software. That's it. You go in, you download the information, and then you will allow it from their software, or as in Chirp, you just leave it blank.
Heartening. So if you wanted to use that radio completely standalone, you can never scan all the channels that you enter in? that doesn't seem right. I would hope that they fix that going forward with a firmware update.
I would agree. Yes, because if this was strictly a mobile unit, I've either got to take the computer out to the car or, you know, bring the whole thing in the house or something. Yeah, it seems pretty stupid that you can't program in a channel to scan it without having the software to allow it to skip.
Some settings, some features that are non-standard, but this is a fundamental feature that should be in every radio. They don't really need to do much. They just need to set it when you enter a memory from the VFO, just make the scan the default setting. Just put that into their table and they're good to go. I'd even replied to say, you know, can this be an option going forward, or can this be, you know, flipped to scan instead of skip going forward? Or is there any plan to put that in the firmware?
I will definitely do that. You know, being here at the desk, I've got the cable already connected to the radio. I just got to plug it into my computer. So it's not hard. It is a little time-consuming, but I shouldn't have to do that at all.
Yeah, and the reality of it is that you shouldn't have to do that often, but still, that's how it should be. And hopefully they are listening to their customers and their feedback. So, yeah, getting that message in there and making sure that is, you know, seen as a request from their community, that would be, in my opinion, good. But let's see. I was researching batteries last night, looking at lithium iron phosphate batteries for my whole POTA activation, and I think I'm settling in on a 50 amp hour battery. I think that'll work good for me. At least that's where my head is at right now. And I don't know if I want to get one or two. At least start with one.
That sounds like a pretty good sized battery. When you doing this POTA, are you gonna kind of limit your wattage to like say 20 watts, or are you gonna try and really push it?
Well, obviously for the battery life, and depending on which antenna I pick up, I might be limited by the output power, but definitely for operating time. If I want to be out there all day, if I'm going to be just on the key calling all day long like a field day event, or if it's going to be more casual, but I want to have that capability that if I want to do 100 watts for a little while, I'm okay, and I'm not going to run out in 45 minutes. So I'm thinking 50 will get me a few hours of fun time. I was thinking 100, maybe run two radios, like for field day. But I don't know. If I was going to do that, maybe I'd get two batteries, do them independently. I don't know. We'll see. These lithium iron phosphate batteries are definitely lighter, but there's no reason to carry around a double capacity battery if I'm just going to take out one station. So, yeah, I think 50 is the way to go. Once you get into the hundreds, it even increases the cost too. So, yeah. So I just need to decide which one. And right now I'm reading charge cycles, reviews, battery management system, current draw capability, and all that.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of YouTube videos on trying to choose a battery, you know, looking at, you know, your wattage output, the time, and, you know, can you do like a solar recharge while you're still out there, stuff like that.
Yeah, I do have a small, I'll call it like a triple charge solar panel. I believe it's only a 20 watt panel. It's small. So that definitely wouldn't do the trick. I think just having the capacity to run for the day and then recharge it overnight or, in between events, I think is fine for me. I don't see myself doing, multi-day events anyway, unless I was camping. And even still, if I was camping, I'd be able to, we go camping where there's power. We do very, well, I should say we do none. We do no wilderness camping. So, yeah, I think I'd be okay with that. And sorry we're not hearing you in there, Jeff. I was over on that side as well before, and I had to switch over. There's something going wrong still with Ross's audio line there. So hopefully he's listening along and he can hear it and has a feel for what's happening there. This is KTPCB.
Well, it sounds like both of you guys are in the parking lot there and just about time to go in to make the donuts, huh?
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard that commercial in a while. Time to make the donuts. You are correct, sir. I am just pulling in here now.
How were the roads, Travis and Jeff?
I would say about an inch on the road. They don't have them down in the blacktop, but they're definitely drivable. You have to just take it slow and easy. It's not horrible.
Yeah, I looked out the window when I got up, and I saw there was some snow out. It's kind of hard to tell how much. I took care of the driveway and the sidewalks twice yesterday, so I'll have to go out there shortly and make sure it's clear for the kiddies.
Coming today, in fact, it's actively snowing right now, so we'll get some build up. All right, well, you stay safe and warm out there. And I'm going to head on in. This is K2PCB. I'll see you guys on the inside and talk to you tomorrow. K2PCB clear.
K2PCB, this is KE2GDQ. You have a great day. Same to you, KC2NVM. You guys have great days, 73s, and we will talk to you tomorrow.